Welcome to Meeple to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of TJ and Gareth's four-game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey guys, welcome again. It is episode 68. In honor of tomorrow being Valentine's Day, the title is Be My Valentine. We're going to talk about two-player games that you should play with your partner. As always, I'm PJ.
And I'm Gareth.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Valentine's Day tomorrow.
So before we begin, I want to say, because you know I'm just too excited right now. Today's a great day. What I love about this podcast is that we always broadcast on Tuesdays, which means today is Mardi Gras. Laissez les bon temps rouler to all my friends in the South. Happy Mardi Gras, everybody.
Happy tomorrow. Mardi Gras.
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and we're going to get together with our loved ones. It's interesting because it's also Ash Wednesday. So it's a fasting day, but it's Valentine's Day. So it's like the day of love and the day of repentance. It's interesting how the calendar works.
Maybe we should do solo games for those who haven't got a partner.
Oh.
Oh, dear. Just realized this.
For those of you who don't have a partner,
I'm going to pick my favorite solo game in a second. And I'm going to sit here and think to add that at the end.
Okay. All right. So,
good point.
The plan is two-player games for you to play with your loved one, your spouse, your partner on Valentine's Day. And Gareth, you're up first, sir.
I'm up first. So, this is a new game to our collection. I say new. I think it might have been before Christmas, but this is Sky Team.
Yeah.
Which I still think is quite hard to find. I think the print run hasn't, second print run hasn't hit the ground, but hit the ground, taken off or landed maybe if we're talking about Sky Team.
Hit the skies.
So a two-player cooperative game where one of you is the pilot, the other is the co-pilot, and you're supposed to work together to land planes. Sounds easy. I hear that you and Katie argued. you can tell me that story in a minute. So it's purely two player. You've got components wise, it's really nice. It's got a nice little dashboard. One player is seeing one side of the board, I guess. It's got that landing, the wheels. The other person's got the flaps. You both roll your dice and you need to put those on the board. Trying to often, like, if both of you got to put one for, like, kind of the balance of the plane. So if somebody over, you can't discuss what you're going to do. So, or you can before you start playing.
And once you roll the dice,
there's no discussion. So I put a four down, Carrie puts a five, slightly misbalanced, and we just turn the plane, we balance off to the left. Of course, if you like that at the end,
it's a tilt.
If the tilt is not balanced by the time the runway arrives, which is over maybe 6-7 rounds, then of course you're going to crash. And you've got the speed. So you've got the kind of how fast you're going. So again, if you haven't slowed down enough by the time the plane gets to the runway, you overshoot or you ditch it into the land before the runway. So we play this game quite a few times, even on easy, until we actually succeeded. Yeah, you've got other planes to navigate out of the way and move them. It is really fun. Really good, solid two-player game. Perfect for Valentine's. And you do need to work together. But there obviously is a bit of luck with the dice. Yeah, you have coffee, so you can mitigate. You can use coffee to mitigate, adjust dice rolls. So it's definitely worth checking out. Plenty of... so you play the first game and it's landing, and then you open up the rule book and you've got taken. I think it's taken off, or it's what do you earn? My brain's gone blank.
You get
more stuff to do, and
you land at different airports at different difficulties.
Yeah, and the red and green sometimes they're really short. Mm-hmm. So worth checking out. So... Sky Team 2023. Right, 2.05 out of 5. So
yeah.
So PJ, how about this? And it's 50 minutes. It's a quick game. I mean, you can play a couple of games.
It could be even quicker.
What happens?
Okay, Sky Team's a great game. I, however, do not believe it's a good Valentine's Day game.
Why? Wait.
I don't think it's a good Valentine's game because it has the potential of risking your relationship with your spouse. Katie and I played this several times, unlike you. We played it 4 or 5 times, and she will not play it with me ever again.
I see. I think it's the pilot. I wouldn't say it's not a Valentine's Day. Clearly, one of you is who is trying to run the game.
She's mad at me. She's mad at me. I could never do anything right. The problem is you can't speak. So, yeah, it did not go well. But then I played it with my friend David on a regular night. He and I played it, and you know the first game didn't go very well because I was trying to teach it to him. He's like, "Let's play that again." And yeah, so I guess with my friend David, he and I can communicate well and work together. But with my wife,
I'm not going to say a word. I'm not saying a word. I mean, I just say, go check it out. It's a great 2-player game.
It is. It is a great game.
It'll be a good lesson in communication.
Yep. You've got to be able to communicate. Good. I wouldn't play it on Valentine's.
Swiftly moving on.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to something a little bit more romantic, at least in theme anyway. And that's Paris, City of Lights. Beautiful tile placement game. Two phases to the game. The first one is you're actually, the beauty of the game, where this game really shines, everyone hears me say this, is that the box, the bottom of the box, is the board in which you play. Love that. So, you know, it's kind of like Boop, right? You flip the box over.
Okay, yeah.
And it's, but in this case, you open the box lid, you take the components out, and you play inside the box. You lay your tiles down in the first phase in order to try to, you know, match up shapes, polyominoic shapes of your color. So in phase two, when you go lay tiles of buildings across Paris, you can only put them on your colored squares. And the purple was a share because it's like you're blue, I'm orange, and then purple we share. And so we place our polyomino-shaped buildings onto the tiles to build the city of Paris. And you score points when your buildings are erected or are illuminated by lamplight, hence the city of lights.
Beautiful. Yeah,
it is beautiful. There's a few little 3D, the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe.
It does look really pretty.
It really is. It's a lot of fun. We played it at Gen Con 2021. Then we got the expansion for it, which came with all the three-dimensional buildings. It's beautiful. It's very pleasant. And, you know, apparently Paris is the most romantic city in the world. So why not go lay tiles and build Paris, City of Lights?
It's about 2 out of 5. Wait, 30-minute playtime.
Yeah, very quick.
Very popular. Number 30 of abstract games on Board Game Geek.
I didn't know that, but it is. Yeah, it's worthy.
Well rated. I like an abstract game.
Well, you will love Paris, City of Lights then. Excellent. Will Carrie like it? I don't know.
No, I think it'd be okay. I think Kira would like it. She likes abstract more. Kind of that whole placement thing. Okay. I am going for the extreme. So we've talked about games which are generally quite light. As a 2-player game that me and Carrie would want to play on Valentine's Day, we've gone for the Uwe Rosenberg Fields of Arles.
Oh, that's great. That's a good
one. Which in its basic game is 1 to 2 players. You can add a third player if you add in the expansion. Mm-hmm. But I'd say the core game is good enough. But it is a 3.85 out of 5. So if you don't understand complexity, 5 is the most insane amount of thinking and understanding and strategy, whereas a 3.85 is kind of a medium heavyweight game. So it's a bit more complex in terms of thinking. You are a farmer in East Frisia, and it's got flax, and you've got to clear the land, you've got to build dikes. Some people describe Fields of Arles as a sandbox worker placement because there are so many spaces to go. which everything from drying out the bogs, harvesting peat, creating more fields for your livestock, building buildings, developing your tools so you can do more things better. Obviously, there's livestock to grow as well. If that wasn't enough, you've got to travel and prosper to neighboring villages and finding buyers. There's multiple paths to victory with this one. But it is one of Carrie's favorite games. So it is a delight to play. It doesn't hit the game table as often because the setup is a bit of a beast. But if you're after something a bit more meaty on Valentine's Day, I want to get into something a bit of a heavy, I guess, Euro, then The Fields of Arles would be my recommendation. 10 years old this year.
Yeah.
10 years old. Between an hour and 2 hour get playtime. Have you got Fields of Arles?
We do. So this is a really interesting game. It's one of Katie and I's favorites, two player. But I really enjoy the story behind it. So East Frisia is in Germany, right on the border with the Netherlands, yeah. Right? And it's on the coast of the North Sea. And it's where Yui is from, I believe. Or
because the rule book is full of history.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Every component has got like a story behind about how it feeds in thematically.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the history goes back to the Paleolithic times, when man was just, hunter gatherer, hunting reindeers in the Neolithic and the Mesolithic age. And so it's below sea level, which I identify with coming from South Louisiana, which,
yep.
We have levees to hold back the rivers and the lakes all the time. Same thing. And you're building levees to expand your farmland. So it's definitely a great worker placement, two player game. Beautiful. I really enjoy it, but it's got a rich heritage and a rich story that I really enjoy. And, Good choice.
So, where are you going next?
So, I'm going to go with another favorite of my wife and I's, and that's Patchwork. Now, there is, in fact, a Valentine's Day reskin of Patchwork. So, you could play that on Valentine's Day, which would be very appropriate thematically. Patchwork's really cozy. That is an adjective that we've been seeing used a lot to describe a lot of games recently across all the social media platforms. Cozy, right? It's been used to describe Mythwind and other games recently. So maybe I want to stay away from that. It's delightful. Two-player only, as you know. It's been around for a while. You're laying polyomino tiles. Who doesn't love tile placement? Any listener of this show knows that it's my favorite mechanic, right?
Because this is 10 years as well. This is 2014. Yeah. Was this one of the first? It probably wasn't. Polyomino games, but I seem to remember it made it.
It may very well be.
Certainly was around when that mechanic started to take off.
So you place all the tiles because you're fashioning a quilt.
Yeah.
And you place all the tiles in a circle around the main board, which is like a track for your player count. And you have a board in front of you. So you're going to use buttons as your currency to purchase tiles around the board, but you can only purchase amongst the first three of like the token. There's a name for it. I'm not a quilter or sewing, so I think there's a term for it. But anyway, and you can purchase those and place them on your board, which then forces you to move around the center board. But the tiles that you place on your quilt, the ones that have buttons printed on it.
Yeah.
When you cross the button on the middle board, you get more buttons, which is your currency to purchase more tiles. And so you want to try to fill up your quilt as much as possible. You get negative points at the end of the game for vacant squares on your quilt. So you want to do that. You want to make sure you get buttons and you want to make sure that you, I play that, just today with Katie.
It's really accessible, isn't it? I mean, it's really accessible. Yeah.
There's a Halloween themed patchwork. There's an Americana themed patchwork. There's the basic patchwork. There's Valentine's Day. I'm sure there are others.
Valentine's was last year.
Yeah.
And then we've upgraded our buttons to proper blue buttons. It's a lovely game just to to add a little bit of enhancement to.
Absolutely. You know it. You got to have real buttons because it's a lot more fun than little cardboard tokens. I get it. But yeah. Yeah. So Patchwork is Patchwork's my number two-player game for Valentine's Day. It's definitely going to hit our table. Actually, it hit our table today, so most likely Paris is going to hit our table tomorrow on Valentine's Day proper, right? So yeah.
Good choice. Very good choice. And I've got some other games I think I'd shout out that we would add to the list. Obviously, we had Patchwork, so you've covered that.
Yep.
I think, what episode did we do two-player games? Episode 7, was it?
Episode 7. So we're going back.
So if you want to hear some other two-player games, certainly another game that both me and Carrie love is Targi, which we covered in episode 7, which is a nice worker placement, kind of putting two workers out. You draw a line, and it's so clever.
Yep.
A game that Carrie enjoys playing but gets frustrated is Mr. Jack, which is a kind of hidden movement. You're kind of trying to position yourself in the lights. It's based on Jack the Ripper. So Jack is trying to manipulate the other characters on the board so that he escapes all the other characters. Got to find Jack, and the lights are on or off. It's a really clever game.
So here's a question. What kind of message are you sending to your spouse if you want to play a game about Jack the Ripper on Valentine's Day?
Just be nice. It's a nice game. I think you're overthinking it.
Overthinking it? Okay.
Yeah, it's just Mr. Jack. It's just a game. I wasn't out from sort of murder or anything, have we?
Well, but I mean, you know.
What else have I got on my list to ask you about? Hive. That's about insects.
You know.
Is insects okay?
Insects, I think they're okay. This is a game that you gave me. You gifted me a copy of this game.
Oh, we sent a copy over.
Yeah. When Diz came to stay with us back in September, and we played it David and I played it Thursday night. We played like three or four games.
It's so quick, so portable, and so many ways to play. So if you haven't played Hive, it's a two-player insects. You got grasshoppers, you got spiders, ants.
Ants.
Each player's got a bee, a queen bee, and you just need to make sure that the other player doesn't surround your queen bee with their insects. So it's a mixture of, I guess, chessy kind of moves. Each insect moves differently.
Yep.
And you've got to stay connected to the hive. So they all have to, you can't have breakaways. They all have to be attached all the time.
That's a great description. Chess with hexagons. Pieces. And they all move differently based on the insect that's printed on
the hive moves. It's brilliant. It's genius.
Unlike chess, where you're trying to remove the king, you're trying to surround the queen.
Yeah, and sometimes you can trap yourself because you can lock. You can put your because you've got to be connected to the queen.
Right.
Before you know it, you trapped yourself and the queen. So it's absolutely genius game. And the other one I've got here would be Santorini, which is an older game now, but similar. Mm-hmm. Two players, you're playing. Trying to build the towers of Santorini up and down and not be landed on by the other player. So it's just trying to always keep out of the way, which is a very popular game as well. It looks great for Instagram photographs.
It is, but we sold it.
Did you?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm going to be nice. It's boring. It is really? So boring. It's so boring.
Even with all of the variation on the character cards.
Yeah. It's just like there's so many better two-player games that we would prefer to play. We're like, why even keep this? So we pitched it.
I'm going to have to play that with you. Show it's probably played.
All right. Maybe you'll see how boring it is too, and we'll sell that game.
Never sell it. In the collection. what else did you have on your list?
So I was going to talk about Far Away by Cherry Pick Games, but we did talk about it in episode 7. So That's another one that's challenging because, you know, when you're on the same tile, you can talk to one another. But when you leave, you can't, like in SkyTunes.
So, so good.
You can get into a lot of trouble with that. And this is a it's not really a theme. It's not really a mechanic. You know, I love two-player games just in general. So there's tons of them out there. What do we play? We played So Back by Pandasaurus Games. Again, we talked about that in episode 7. What else did we? I mean, there's so many two players. Star Wars Rebellion's great.
Yeah, it's on my list.
But it's a long game.
Yeah, I mean, Fields of Arl is short compared to what could be a Star Wars Rebellion.
Star Wars Rebellion is a great two-player game, but it is not a good example of a Valentine's Day game for myself and my wife, especially with Valentine's being on Wednesday. So it's like, you know, you come home after work. Do I want to sit down and play a three-hour game from setup to finish?
There's always War of the Ring.
War of the Ring.
That's
I've not played it, but...
Three or four hours?
Yeah. Yep.
Only one person can win. Hopefully it's
absolutely.
Not... It's not the bad guys, which is what happened to me.
I'm trying to look at my shelf. My two
I'm trying
games,
the other two-player games. There's a nice abstract game called Shobu, which is these wooden boards.
Shobu, yeah.
And black and white tokens.
Yeah.
It's kind of, move around position, but each board you have to move independently. So that's quite, we picked that up in New York and it's been around the world with us.
So what I've noticed about two-player games just in general, right? And I'll just quickly rattle off some titles. The two-player versions are better than their big brothers, right? So Seven Wonders Duel is a two-player version of Seven Wonders. Seven Wonders is not the best game out there, but Seven Wonders Duel is very popular and we love it in our home.
Yeah.
Agricola, all creatures, big and small.
Something like that.
Anyway, it's a two-player version of Agricola. Now, I can tell you that I despise Agricola and will not play it.
We played Agricola Friday night.
Yeah, well, you
first
wasted
time in 4 years.
Yeah, well, there's
it was,
a reason
it
why.
It was brilliant.
No, it wasn't, because it took you four. It
took us like an hour and a half, like that.
Yeah, but it took you 4 years to hit the table. There's a reason why it doesn't hit the table.
No, it's just got too many games.
There's better games out there.
It was really satisfyingly bad at it. I'd forgotten how hard it was.
Yes.
So it'll be in the table again next week, because we were it's good.
No, it's not. No,
Have you got Caverna?
No.
See, this is the problem. It's not even your genre of games.
No. We had the two-player version of Caverna, which we love.
Yeah.
Cave to Cave. But the two-player Agricola is so delightful. You know, Agricola's got beautiful animals, and animals are cool. And I don't want to plant pumpkins and corn. And, oh, and by the way, if you feed your family, I can't feed mine because you took the spot. I mean...
Hey, you haven't got to worry about that.
Agricola, no. Man. Yeah.
We need more conflict in our lives. We have loads of conflict games. You come for Vacation Con. We need more conflicts and upsetting people. Clearly, that's what you need.
Apparently, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. Apparently so. Yeah. Agricola is just, so it's one of Yui's early games, and he's gotten so much better in designing games. There's a reason, you know, you get away from your original.
Ours is like I wouldn't say it's best, whatever the... 2012 or whatever, but there's a second edition which has been, I guess, streamlined.
So Agricola just celebrated.
The big box, didn't it?
Yeah, it's like Agricola 15 because it was 15th anniversary or something. Took a look at that and said, "Yeah, I'm not buying it."
Yeah, someone said to me on my post that they've got every spare card, every deck. Yeah. We just got the core game.
You can't give me a copy of Agricola for free.
I'm going to have it set up ready. What else? Any other two-player games before we do a solo? A couple of solo games? I've got a couple of solo games.
Oh, right. Imhotep Duel is another two-player version that's better than its bigger brother.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's great. I mean, you're basically offloading ships and scoring points for it.
I had the original game.
Yeah.
Imhotep's okay.
Yeah. We sold it too because we got the two-player version, which is so much better.
Yeah,
so,
that makes sense.
You know? Moving on, solo. So for those of our friends and loved ones who do not have a partner or a loved one at the time, currently.
Or they're away.
Or they're away.
Like I've been for the last couple of years.
But yep.
This year I'm not. So I've just gone through my solo games and I'm going to pick out three without really going into much detail. So I think a really good one would be Final Girl. Maybe not.
Sure, sure.
It sticks to the theme of Valentine's Day and serial killers. What other ones have I got on my list?
We've got a friend here in the US in our community who absolutely loves Final Girl. That Final Girl is his favorite game, that it has supplanted Everdell as his favorite game.
Wow.
That is our dear friend Jacob, Game With Me Under the Evertree.
Game with me under the Evertree. With my axe under the Evertree.
He confided in us that he was considering changing his handle on Instagram.
Amazing. He should
to favor Final Girl.
Yeah.
Over Everdell. And I was like, I mean,
just make two accounts.
You could do that too. I know he loves Final Girl. Our good friend Mae Beasley, Amara Trash Talk, she's a big fan of Final Girl. Horror's not my genre. Solo gaming is not really my thing, but it's Final good. Girl,
I've only got one box. I've got the cool game, and it is genius. There is so much expansion boxes and other stories, but the way you open both sides of the box, set it up, and it does feel like a tense, you know, horror film trying to survive. It's really clever.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
A game that I got recently that it does play more, but I do agree probably plays best with one is Turing Machine.
Oh yeah.
Which is a logic puzzle, if you like. So I've been having fun with that. So yeah, trying to crack the code using a real life analog computer.
Yeah.
And what other one would I recommend? Under Falling Skies is my last one, which is kind of the space invaders kind of game.
So I have never played it, but here's the question. There was a television show back in the 90s, maybe the aughts, in the beginning of the 2000s. Called Falling Skies, which is about alien invasion. I'm wondering if there's a connection, just coincidental. I've always wondered that about the game. Played it, but I don't know. So, if anyone knows, send us in the comments there at Instagram, at Meeple to Meeple, or catch us on Spotify and let us know if there's a connection to the USA series Falling Skies with the game Under Falling Skies.
You've got any solo games before we wrap up the episode?
I don't have any solo games. There are games that I've played solo that I enjoy, and we've talked about them before, but I've got nothing for you.
You got nothing.
I'm not a solo gamer, so
I think the game that we'll play on Valentine's but won't be a two-player game. We'll be two players. That we have picked up Newton, which if anyone was listening to maybe two episodes ago, we're talking about our favorite games by Darwin's Journey episode, wasn't it? And then we talked about other games by the designers. And then
episode 66, we talked about Darwin's Journey, and we discovered that Newton is similar and by the same designers.
And then I looked at all of those designers and went, they are games that I enjoy. So there's a whole host of other games I'm going to try. But yeah, Newton is probably what we will end up playing on Wednesday.
Good for you. We're going to play Paris, City of Lights.
Good. We should talk about Wednesday. That next week then. Let's see how we get on.
Yeah.
So with that, I guess we both wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day, whether you're
absolutely
celebrating with your partner or you're going to hang out and do some solo gaming or whatever it is you're going to do. And we'll be back for our next episode in a week.
Yeah, and I think Gareth needs more Valentines in his life. So everybody, send him a message and be his Valentine.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Share the love.
That's right.
Right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks everyone for listening. Please subscribe, and as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas, so make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram at Meeple to Meeple.